to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to the broadcast today. This is Coach Lalisa, and Professor Terry Benjamin is right here. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Oh, good morning. How are you doing? I'm great. Great. Another great day. I know it.
Oh, another wonderful day. It is. It is. You know, I said I'm going to make up my mind that I am going to have a blessed day, nothing but glorious thoughts today. Because,
you know,
people,
those thoughts are important, you know. They're really important.
People say if you change your thoughts, you can change your life.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
He said we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So I'm looking forward to a great day. I want to think glorious thoughts. I want him to hold back every negative thought that could try to enter my mind on today. That's my prayer for myself.
That's great.
For others who want that prayer, I just believe that if we want, we have to ask. He said if we ask in Jesus' name, that he would do it.
So, and it's funny because it's just as simple as that. You know, I think sometimes people don't ask. Don't ask enough, you know.
No, we don't. We don't ask, and sometimes we know we ask amiss. We ask the wrong things, but I'm asking for what he promised. I'm asking for what he promised. You know, he said, I send my word to perform it. I watch over it to perform it wherever my word goes. And so, you know, he's told us to take his word upon us, right? So any word that we find in there, we can ask for. He's promised us peace. And so he's told us that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He's told us that we have not because we ask not. So that's his word. And you know what? We can give his word right back to him. And just receive it. He says, Mark 11:24. Says, if you believe that you receive it, then you have it. And so I'm believing that I already receive it.
that's beautiful. You know, and again, like you said, it's just you have to ask. But I think what happens, a lot of people don't know what to ask for. I mean, as you get older, you realize, and it's really good that you realize it's not all about you.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's all not all about you, you tend to be really happy for other people's success. I like what Wayne Dyer says. He says that, you know, you should wish for others twice as much as you wish for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And, you know, and he told us, he said, each should encourage the other better than them. Sure, I have to encourage myself, because if I don't encourage myself, I don't have anything for with to encourage you with.
That's for sure.
I have to encourage myself. I also have to encourage you and Shadiqua and so many others. I have to encourage them, Minister Pat. And so, God places individuals in our lives. Sometimes we're looking way over there. And the people are standing like 2 feet away.
That's true. Again, we take other people for granted, And especially in this society where, you really devalue the wisdom of older people. This is one generation that really, if they would have their way, most old people would disappear. Because they don't really...
And that would be terrible. They wouldn't know. Well, that would be horrible, because they already don't know what to do. Imagine no one around to guide them.
Yeah.
Bad enough with us here. Mm-hmm. And some do and some don't. Can you imagine with us out, without us here, nobody knowing what to do? That would be horrible.
Last night I was watching my wife. They had a program on HBO, a documentary on models, supermodels. And now today, real supermodels are in their 40s and 50s and 60s, and some of them are in their 80s. They're still modeling, but they're not getting as much money as they used to get, and they're not really getting the respect that they used to get. But these were the pioneers. These are the people who set the stage for what's going on right now. Like what we're doing with this radio program, what we've been doing really in our careers is really trying to develop something that we can give to other future generations, so they don't have to go through what we went through.
Mm-hmm. And and that's so important, and that's one of the reasons that people like you and myself and others out here, where we are telling people how to reinvent yourself. I practice self-reinvention at least once a week, if not sometimes daily.
Well, I think, it's a daily process, because I think what happens every day is another opportunity to get it right. It's so funny, but someone said that yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, today's a gift. That's why we call it the present. And so in the present, we just have so much to give. I see a lot of people getting into the habit of, I see when people are walking, they have on their headsets and whatnot. And I find for myself that at one time I used to listen to music. But now what I do is I put in an audiobook. If the audiobook is a half an hour, I'm walking, and I don't have to count my steps or anything, because I know once that tape is over, I've done my half hour or whatever I want to do. And for me, it's a lot better than listening to music, because as I walk, I'm learning. And people talk about, you and Lisa, you have time to do this. I don't have time. Well, it's not that we have the time, it's that we make the time. And one of the ways we make the time is by making choices that will help us, because, again, I love the whole idea of the audiobooks, because, again, it's someone talking into your head. And believe it or not, there's always someone talking in your head, because if you listen to the news, if you listen to the radio, if you listen to all the things that are going on, they're talking to you in many different ways, and sometimes you have to counteract the negativity that's coming at you through the news. Not everything is bad, okay? And sometimes we get a steady diet of the bad. We got to really counteract that with a steady diet of the positive.
Absolutely. And it's so true, and want to definitely welcome this morning, those who are listening into the broadcast, thank you. As you know, if you don't know, I'll share with you that you're listening to Professor Terry Benjamin. He is our weekly Tuesday morning co-host each and every Tuesday. Any show that you would like to listen to see what he's been talking about, if you missed any other broadcasts, they're all in the archives. All you have to do is look for a day in the archives with his name by it, or look for Tuesday. It's been going on now probably not quite a year. I'll check the archives and get the official date and see, because we would certainly want to mention that on the show as well. A year is a long time these days.
and it doesn't seem that long, but we've been going at it pretty regularly, you know, for some time now, you know. And again, I like the idea of the archives because, I mean, tell the truth, sometimes I go back to archives because, you know, when you're in the program, it's kind of hard to listen.
Sure.
That's why a lot of times when I finish a program with you, I go to archives to find out what did I say? Because many times I have a prepared text, but the way that you and I work is that, you know, most of the time that text is thrown out the window because we interact with each other and we sort of feed each other and encourage each other. I mean, it's like a relay. I take it to one point, you take it to the next, and we go that way. But I think, again, it comes down to how people learn and how people become smart, because I think we live in an age where there's so much information out there that you have to be selective about that. You have to understand that, you know, that everybody that you listen to has a good word for you. You know, you have to really kind of balance that. You know, there's so many things that are pulling at our attention that we really have to be selective about what we listen to, what we take into our minds, and we take into our body, and we take into our spirit. You know, you can have all the great intentions, but if you listen to something that's degrading, I mean, you know, a lot of the contemporary music, all it is hooks and beats. And a lot of the hooks is derogatory towards women, you know, saying things about women, saying things about sex and sexuality that degrades the whole process. So, you know, if a young person's in their car and they listen to this music, and, you know, I know my children, I have, you know, daughters, and a lot of times one particular daughter, when she listens to music in her car, it's up loud. I mean, I can hear her coming down the street, which is not a good thing, because what's happening and then what she's listening to is not only polluting her mind, but it's also polluting the mind of people in the neighborhood, you know. So I have to sort of, you know, pull to the side and say, you know, if you listen to that music, hey, it's all right, but you got to understand that, you know, not everybody needs to listen to that, you know. Mm-hmm. So you really have to be careful. You got to protect your mind, because basically your mind is going to determine your heart. And your heart is going to determine what you project out to the public. You know, that's why some people come across as very negative, because all their thoughts is on negativity. And you can't take in negativity and spout out positivity. It doesn't work that way, you know. As they say in the Bible, as a man thinketh, that's the way he is. So if you're thinking about things that are in this world in the negative sense, you're going to promote that. You know, you're going to act and talk and dress like the people in this music, you know, because these entertainers, they, you know, a lot of them go for the lowest common denominator, and that lowest common denominator is not spiritual. You know, it's worldly, it's fleshly, and really it's problematic if you're trying to build a more positive mindset. And that's why we really got to be really selective about what we watch, what we listen to, and what we read. And because a lot of people don't like to read, I think, again, audiobooks is a solution to that. But you have to be selective in that. You know, you have to listen to the people who are saying things that are really right, you know, are really righteous, are really things that's going to help you go to the next level of your success. Because I do believe that God wants us to be happy here on earth. I mean, there's another life that we have to look forward to. And they always say that's the better life, and it probably is, and I look forward to it, but I'm not rushing to get there because I don't know what that is. But I know what this life is, and I know what this life can be made to be, but I have to be vigilant. I mean, every day I have to protect my mind, because you know, who knows what's out there. And again, there's a lot of influences that can be destructive to us, you know, destructive to our mind, our body, and our spirit. So, I mean, it's a serious thing.
Yeah. It is very serious. And, you know, talking about, and I know that's your topic for today, talking about the audio books and, you know, like self-development on the go, which is so good. And, you know, it is so, you know, so important, especially for our busy lives today, number one. Number two, without having a busy life, like the little children, their lives aren't busy. They're into the technology and they're very portable. You know, they have what much to do? Nothing. But yet, they list it, yet they're the main ones with the iPods, the iPads and things of that nature, which will allow them to, and you constantly see, especially teenagers, I mean, when do you see them without headsets on? And it's, so just imagine, every time I see a teenager, every time I see them walking, I mean, I have no clue as to what they're listening to, but because I have an imagination, I just imagine that they're listening to Algebra 101, geometry, you know. Because as opposed to just listening to someone talk about bump and grind, what you listen to, you do become. So if I listen to bump and grind all day, and especially my way, because I know what I did on my way to school. And by the time I got to school, I didn't want to hear anything that Mr. So-and-so had to say. that was gone out the window, because all the school I had talked about, you know, baby, I want you back, and come hold me, please, and why aren't you here, and what was that one song, you know, Touch Me in the Morning. The time I listen, and, you know, each day through my window, I'll watch you. I was so sad and tormented over, I could not focus on, you know, two to the negative third power. That was out of the question. And so when I
that's the thing, and the sad thing about it is that, you know, when the kids are listening to the music, I mean, you know, the top artists, especially in R&B and soul, is Usher and Trey Songz and Chris Brown and, you know, Keisha Cole. And, I mean, they're all very talented, but, you know, they're young, you know, in the sense that, you know, they're young and they're just experiencing some things. And, you know, this is all well and good, but I think we need to take it up another level.
Well, you know what, too? That's so funny, though, because, and then I got all the way to, you know, through at least associate degree and bachelor's, or even probably my master's degree, through that to realize that, but wait a minute, there's a left brain and a right brain. The right brain is more artistic. The left brain is more analytical. But to stimulate the left brain, the analytical side, the side that helps you do math and science and chemistry and all that stuff, needs to be stimulated by the artistic side of your right brain. So it really, in effect, had I realized this then, I would have listened to those same songs, but I would have listened to it with the mindset that it is stimulating me to want to go and do the algebra and do the math. But no, I was listening to it because I wanted Pookie not to walk by my house. I wanted him to stop and, you know.
Of course.
You see?
Of course. But the thing that you have to understand is that you listen to all these songs, I mean, your mind is on sex. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the fact is that, you know, it's kind of hard to concentrate on other things when you're so preoccupied with sex and sexuality. And I wouldn't mind if there was a balance, okay? If you gave me one song of sex and you gave me another song about some positive motivation, that would be okay. But the thing is that it's a steady diet of the same thing. And that's never good. I mean, that's like, you know, you eating the same meal every day. Now, I mean, after a while, the nutritional value of that meal is going to be diminished because you're doing the same thing every day. What you need is variety of foods to keep yourself healthy. I mean, I think you need a variety of information to keep yourself healthy. And it's so funny because I was doing some research on this particular topic, and it says here the average person commutes 30 minutes each day to and from work. In 5 years, that's 1,250 hours in the car, okay? Enough time to give you the equivalent of a college education. So, again, in your car, if you use that time wisely, you could get the equivalent of a college education if you listen to the right type of things. So, really, no time is truly wasted unless you want to waste it.
Yeah, because I remember when I was working at, not Continental, but my first job when I arrived in New Jersey back in 1987, I worked in a purchasing department. And the manager of that department, John Stewart, I'll never forget him, he had only been working there several years, but he had come from Johnson & Johnson. And he had had some job and some managerial type of job in Johnson & Johnson for several years or for some years. But then he left Johnson & Johnson, you know, of course, being a very big company, to come to a more smaller, family-oriented organization where he could really be in control of some stuff and sort of be his own boss and only have to report to the VP. They reported to the CEO. So he got to hang out with the big boys, so to speak. Whereas in Johnson, he was just another manager among thousands. But one of the things I remember that he did was he made all of us in the purchasing. He had a set of tapes at that time.
Wow. There were, See there?
And there was a cassette set of tapes that was that talked about sales because he was because he was in purchasing. He wanted to know what the salespeople thought because they were the ones that he had to deal with to make a purchase.
Yeah.
So he had this set of tapes, and it might have been a series of like 8 or 9. And it was his purchase dash or what have you. But what happened was he had them at the job. And I was in that mindset then, I was like, well, if you're doing it, I want to do it too. You know? Because I'm a little file clerk, and I'm a little African-American file clerk, and you're a white man. As a manager, now I want to listen to what you're listening to, not even knowing what I was doing. But he obliged me and said, okay, you sure you're going to listen to him? And I said, oh, yes. And she, like you said, I was living in Newark and at that time and was working in Springfield, New Jersey. So it was like a good 20, 30-minute drive. And I would listen to these tapes. And so, and I listened to the whole set. It was about 8 or so.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, this isn't new, but it is important to know what your goal is. Like you said, if you want to do it, and get a whole, and I remember, and like some of that stuff that that man taught, and I'm now I'm going to go back and research this because you brought it up. I'm going to look for that. What was it I was listening to? And realize that that was very important, and I'm still using some of it. And
Well, see, that's the point because, see, this material never gets old because back in the day, around the 50s, Earl Nightingale, he was a very well-known motivational speaker, and he developed Nightingale Clinic with his partner. And what happens is that one of the things that they did was they actually put the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill on tape. And Bob Proctor, who is featured in the film The Secret, also now a very successful motivational speaker, I like to say motivational teacher, he says he had a record. He had a record player, and he had a record of this this book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And Bob Proctor, he said he would play this record every single day. Every day he would listen to this record. Now, you have to understand, if you're doing something like this, it's going to make a difference. You know, again, Jack Canfield says that what truly successful people do is listen daily to audio programs from the world's most renowned motivational masters in the car, at home, at office, even if it's just for 15 minutes each day. myself, I like to listen to these tapes in the morning, especially at, like when I wake up. Like I might wake up like at 5. So I might just lie in bed and put on my earphones and put on a CD and listen to that, you know. And sometimes if I have time, I listen to it before I go to bed. Now, these are the two best times because your mind is more or less clear, especially in the beginning of the day. You haven't started your day, so your mind is clear. And so you're getting this, like, it's like almost like food. You're taking this into your mind, your body, and your spirit, and then at the later day. Now, those who commute, and that's why I call this particular program Commuter University, you know, your car becomes your classroom, you know, because you are – you, so it's almost like, I think it's almost like programming yourself. You know, I think it was LL Cool J who said that, you know, sometimes to be successful, you have to almost hypnotize yourself to be successful. I mean, Muhammad Ali said it best when he kept on saying that he was the greatest. And this is before he became the greatest, but he kept on saying it so much that he convinced himself that he was the greatest. And then he went on to convince others. I think in terms of success, we have to tell ourselves, you know, I will be successful. There's no doubt in my mind about that, you know. And you almost have to program yourself to really be successful in your mind before it becomes in your reality. Because I do believe that, you know, as a man thinketh, if you think these successful thoughts, you will, it almost, your mind will, like, seek opportunities to develop your greatness. And one of the things about being 60 and that, when I talk about sexy at 60, I mean sexy at 60, the philosophy is to develop the habit of literacy. Every day do some reading, writing, talking, listening, and viewing. But the point that I'm making right now is the fact that, let's face it, when you get into your 60s, you know, 60, 70, 80, I mean, you slow down. I mean, it's no way to avoid that. And that's why a lot of times with people in their 60s, I push them even harder because it's so easy to say, you know what? I've come this far, I've done this much. You know, maybe it's time for me to take it easy. That's why that word retirement for me is such a dangerous word, because when you retire, you know, when I say retire, I'm getting ready to go to bed. And that's why with retirement for many people, it is a death sentence, because they slow down to the point where they become inactive. And that's why sometimes you need like a push or a shove to say, okay, let me get up and do this, because it's so easy in your later years to just say, you know what, let me take it easy, and let the young kids take it, you know, let them do something. Let me just sort of sit back here in the rocking chair and just chill. But that's the worst thing that you can do. That is the worst thing, and that's why you got to really constantly, you know, push yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually. Don't be content about, you know. A lot of people, I know, you as well, I've read the Bible many, many times. I'm still reading it, but you know what? The older I get, certain scriptures mean more than they ever meant when I was growing up. And I remember I was telling this young girl, and, you know, some time ago, and we went to the scripture, you read what you sow. And she said when she first heard this scripture, she was sort of confused because she thought it was about sowing something, you know? Like sewing something, like a dress or a shirt or whatnot, you know. And when, what does that have to do with what you sew? It was only later, when her powers of understanding were more fully developed, that she understood. That's why a lot of times, you know, we talk about legacy. When I was 20 or 30, legacy meant nothing to me. But now that I'm in my 60s, legacy means all, because at this particular point, it's not so much what I have for myself, but what I leave behind. And as you move closer to your 60s and 70s and 80s, you move closer to that passing over, you realize that, you know, what was my life about? I mean, I hate to have a situation where, you know, I realize that I wasted my time, and that's why you really chill on the drugs and the alcohol and the things that are going to destroy your body, because you realize you don't have time for that, you know, and the time that you have is limited at best. And so for me, there's an urgency, but there's also a standing still as well. And that's why it's a battle between the urgency and the one to stand still. And that's why I say, you know, we are in a state of emergency. When I say emergency, I mean we need to emerge with urgency. And it's even more important for older people, because we know we have the knowledge. I mean, my first wife, you know, when she would get mad at your children and she would chastise them, she would go into her purse and she would bring out a handful of coins, you know, and she would throw the coins on the table, and she said, what is more, a quarter or a dime, a dollar or a penny? And what she was saying in essence is the fact that, okay, look, I've been around here longer than you are. You're 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm 30, 40, or 50. I'm 60. And even if I was the dumbest person on this planet, just because I lived these years, I've learned something. And because I lived these years, I know more than you know. I mean, I may not have all your degrees. My mother and my father, they don't have college degrees, but they are the two people that I still go to for advice, because they don't have all the degrees that I have. They haven't read all the books that I read, or this is all the changes that I listened to, but their life experience and their longevity is with me right there. And that's why sometimes I think we should need to go and visit the senior citizens' homes and whatnot and sit down and talk with these people, because they have wisdom beyond our years, and they have wisdom of times that we never experienced. You know, they've gone through tougher times than we've gone. We're in the age of technology. We're in the age of knowledge. Knowledge is everywhere. You know, when I was coming up, I never thought I'd see the day when I have a phone that I can put in my pocket. I never thought I'd see a day when I'm reading a book from a Kindle or a Nook. I never thought I'd see the day when I go to my computer, I see a book that I want, I order that book on my computer, I walk across my office to my Kindle, and that book is in my Kindle. If I want to watch a movie, okay, I order a movie, and it's on my computer or on my Kindle. And so, again, I never thought I would see this. And that's why these kids, they take it for granted. I still see it as a miracle. I mean, the phone, my son's phone, I mean, it's not just a phone. I mean, you know, it has a GPS on there, you know, and he wants to order food. He just says Chinese food, and 5 or 6 restaurants pop up, you know. I mean, you could spend a whole day on your phone because it's so much in there. And like I said, young people, that they take it for granted. And then older people, those who are not enlightened, they say, oh, well, that's for the kids. We shouldn't get into that. But we need to get into that because, again, it's there for a purpose. I took a course on finance with Dave Ramsey. I never met the man, but I would go to this class, and then I would see him on a DVD. And then I had a series of CDs that I could take home and listen to. I mean, this is a new education. I mean, long distance learning. Before, this was just something that people thought about. Now it's real. You know, a lot of courses are packaged as DVDs or CDs. If you buy the tape, and, you know, and I really believe, and I tell this to all my students, is that, you know, I think we learn more on our own. I think we may learn more outside the classroom than we learn in the classroom. All the teacher, as far as I'm concerned, is a facilitator. If you have the books, if you have the CDs, you have the DVDs, you're really teaching yourself. And I think that's the best form of knowledge. So we got to understand, you know, we have so many opportunities to learn, but we have to be intelligent about it. You know, the information is here. All we have to do is, I mean, and the library is still the best deal in town because, again, it's the free public library. Free means that you can borrow whatever you want to borrow, and, you know, you can do that. So, I mean, a lot of people say, well, I don't have the money. Well, you don't need money. It is there. You know, there's so much free information going on. My Kindle, I have over 200 books, and most of those books are free, you know, because I got them, you know, through different sources. But my point is that, again, you know, we have so many opportunities to be self-educated that, you know, it would be a shame if we wasted. And saying you don't have enough time is not an excuse anymore because, you know, you have time. You're walking, you're laying in the house, just relaxing, you know, instead of listening to music, listen to a motivational speech or a motivational speaker or even a motivational seminar. You know, Wayne Dyer is really good for this. You know, he has many tapes where really you get like 4 or 5 CDs, and these 4 or 5 CDs is actually our training. I have in front of me right now it's called the Wayne Dyer Collection, and there's 1, 2, 3. There's 4 books on this tape. You know, there's a book called There's a Spiritual Solution for Every Problem, Dr. Wayne Dyer's 10 Secrets to Success and Inner Peace, Improve Your Life Using the Wisdom of the Ages, and here, how to get what you really, 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 really want. And again, and this was published some time ago, but it's still relevant to today, because again, if it's real true knowledge and real truth information, it's timeless. And that's what we have to understand. It's all there. All we have to do is get it.
And you know, and that's where innovation is so important. I know we have our upcoming powerful women's conference coming up in the city of Newark, our Women's Leader and Entrepreneurs Summit and Expo. And in the theme, it says release your power, aspiration, and innovation.
Yep.
So even if we listen to something that is 100 years old,
mm-hmm.
from some leader, some motivational person, some empowerment person, you know, we can tweak it to fit today. That's innovation.
Yeah.
What they do with products and services, they took the broom and they tweaked it and got the they took the typewriter and, you know, tweaked it by combining it with some other technological stuff, and now we end up with our desktop computers.
Well, that's the thing, and it's so funny because these things seem to be getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I remember back in the day when we had what they called a mobile phone, and really, you know, they had like a case for it, and that thing was so big, you know, you make a call, the phone would cover half of your face, you know.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, so most of them, I lose my phone because I have it in a different pocket. Where's my phone? You know, I don't know where my phone is. I can't find my phone. Somebody called my phone, and they called my phone, and it's ringing in my pocket. I mean, back in the day, you couldn't do that. I mean, my mother, you know, I remember, you know, it's so funny. She liked to sit on the porch, you know, and she liked to have the phone on the porch. Now, the only way we can do that, we have a long cord, okay, from the phone that is on the wall, and, you know, she has a long cord so she can, you know, listen, talk on the phone on the porch. Now, all she has to do is just, you know, walk on a mobile phone. I mean, again, we take that for granted. We take for granted the fact that, you know, education is so available to everybody that there's no reason for anybody to be ignorant. You know, there is so much going on. I mean, at the church I attend, you know, the pastor, he gives his sermon, and then after the sermon is finished, you know, as you're walking out of the church, you can go to the bookstore in the church and get that sermon on DVD or CD. And what I do a lot of times, I get the DVD and the CD, okay? And I watch the DVD, and then when I'm in my traveling and whatnot, I listen to the CD. Again, reinforcement. And I'm saying if you have one tape, you have to listen to it at least four or five times, only because the more you listen to it, the more you get it. Because I know in church, and we're caught up in the message and the moment, you miss a lot of things, you know, because, you know, it's just a lot of things going on. But when you get a chance to listen to it, especially without the visual, because you get really a chance to really to get into your brain, and that's why I think a lot of churches, a lot of ministers are having the morning prayer. They have the prayer line where people can come in and pray together, and we don't see each other, but, you know, we feel the power of prayer. We feel the power of fellowship. We feel the power of like-mindedness, people coming together and praying for something positive. And I believe that, you know, people like ourselves, Lisa, you know, the best thing that we can do is be models for the things that we want to see. I mean, Gandhi says, be the change in the world that you want to see. Be that change. You can't make people be intelligent. You can't make people, you know, develop their mind, their body, and their spirit. But if they see you doing that, it happens. I know I was in New York last Wednesday with my son. We went to Lincoln Center. They have an outdoor concert series called Lincoln Center Outdoors. Make a long story short, my son and I went over to see a concert with Chic in concert. And we saw the concert, and after the concert, they had a DJ 360. They had a little party right there in the park by Lincoln Center. And what happened is that after, you know, we were doing it, we were having some good times and whatnot, and I look over to my right, and I look at this man, and I said, well, he looks very familiar. And I tell you, Lisa, in my life, there's only about four men that I really wanted to meet to shake their hands and the list is short, because these are men who made an impact in my life. And I'm talking about Ozzie Davis, Gordon Parks, Wayne Dyer, and Melvin Van Peebles. Ozzie Davis, filmmaker, playwright, he's passed. Gordon Parks, photographer extraordinary, he's passed. Wayne Dyer, he is in Hawaii. That's where he lives. You know, he does a radio program every week on Hay House Radio, and he really calls in the program from Hawaii. But Wednesday night, I got a chance to meet Melvin Van Peebles. I was looking across, and I said, "Well, doesn't that look like Melvin Van Peebles?" I told my son, "I said, it looks like Melvin Van Peebles." And I walked over to him, and I approached him. I said, "Mr. Van Peebles," and he said, "Yes." I said, "Can I take a picture with you?" And he said, "Of course." And he just said, "I hope that." He said, "If the camera breaks, it's not my fault." I said, "Look, I'll take that chance." And so I posed with him. We did a picture together, and then he took a picture with me, him, and my son, and it's on my Facebook page. But I say that because, again, I really needed to meet that man. So I met him. I got a chance to talk with him. And, again, I was inspired, because here's a man who is 79 years old. He'll be 80 later this month, but still very alive, very vital, very inspirational. And for me, to meet him, especially at this time in my life when so many things are going on, I mean, I think it's a sign of something. It's a sign that, you know, you draw to you the things that you need to take it to the next level. But you got to be out here, okay? You got to be out there. You got to be practicing what you preach. I think that's the bottom line. You got to practice, and you have to teach. You have to practice what you preach. And as I think about my legacy, you can't really determine legacy. I mean, that's for other people to determine. But one of the things that I like to feel that I'm doing is I'm practicing what I'm preaching. I'm preaching what I'm teaching. And I think that is so key for me, because, you know what, I look for any opportunity to share what I know, because, you know what, when you encourage others, you encourage yourself. You know, and that can't be, that's not a bad deal as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's like a double deal. You get
the yes, it is.
It's a good feeling.
You are right.
You get the good feeling of encouraging someone else, and then you also get the benefits of having encouraged yourself, which is a double good feeling. So now you really have about, of you know, who knows, close to 100-fold, you know. You got a 300 turn.
And I'm saying, listen, this man was, you know, again, he's legendary, you know, but he was so humble, you know, he was so humble to spend the time with me and my son and talk to us. I mean, you know, he didn't have to do that. I mean, he could have just kept on about his business. But again, he took that time, and I like to think that I have that same generous spirit, because I believe more so than ever, you know, I heard it a long time ago, but I believe it more so even now. It's my mantra, you know. You have to give to get, okay? If you don't give, you won't get. And the thing is, and with the whole idea of true abundance, I've listened to a tape by Michael Bernard Beckwith entitled True Abundance. And he says here, practices for living from the overflow. And what he's saying in his particular CD is that, you know, true abundance is having more than you ever need, having more than you know you have. When we have these programs, like I said, I have some prepared text, but most of the time I'm speaking from my spirit. I'm speaking from what has been ignited by our being together. And for me, that's the most important part of the program, because that's unscripted. I don't know what I'm saying right now. All I know is that it feels like I'm really reaching out and putting out something that is really good, is really true. And so he says, you know, giving to get. Well, you can't give unless you have something. You can't give unless you have something to give. And that's why a lot of times people say, I don't have this, I don't have that. But you know what? When you start to give, you realize that you have more than you can ever realize. You know, sometimes I can say something to my children or my son or my daughters and whatnot that really makes their day. You know, or they can say something to me that makes my day. And a lot of times that's just coming out of their heart, their spirit, because I know I'm surrounded by love. I mean, the love of my wife, my children, you know, my students, my friends, my colleagues, all is about love, because that's all that I know. I don't know about trying to take advantage of somebody or trying to take something from somebody that they don't want to give me. I don't know about that because I'm not about that. I don't have to live that life, and I'm not in a situation where I have to be put into that. You know, my day is more or less how I plan it to be. And it took me a long time to get to this point, but, you know, I'm here and I'm enjoying it very, very much. But the thing is that, you know, living from the overflow, living from the fact that I have a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom and understanding, but you know what? There's still more to be gained. You know, you never know enough. You never stop learning. That's why it hurts you when kids say, you know what, I'm glad when I finish high school, I don't have to read anymore. Or I'm glad when I finish my BA, I'm finished. Or I finish my master, I'm finished. My PhD. You know, you never finish. Okay, understand that. It is lifelong learning. As long as you are alive, you are learning. Even if you're sick, you know, you need to learn about your illness so that you can get better. You need to learn and listen to your doctors to help you be better. You know, don't think that life is ever, because, I mean, my whole thing about, you know, me, I don't believe in retirement. Why should I retire for something I love to do? I was watching Nile Rodgers in concert, you know, and I had read his book some time ago, and his book revealed that he had cancer. He stopped the concert and just said, you know, I'm dealing with some health challenges, but I'm so glad to be here tonight and to play for you. And after the concert was over, he actually came down from the stage and spent time, at least 20 minutes, with the audience, you know, shaking everybody's hand and taking pictures with everybody and whatnot. And it made me sad because I'm thinking that maybe he knows that, you know, this might be his last concert. And so the thing is, I believe that you have to live every day as it was the last and be surprised that there's another tomorrow. I mean, I go to bed after I've had a great day, and I'm going into my rest and into my sleep. And when I wake up, I say, wow, you know, I'm happy, I'm surprised, I'm encouraged. But because there's no guarantee, you know, at our age, especially my age, I mean, a lot of my friends are dying. I mean, I sometimes hate to answer the phone because especially if it's late at night, somebody tells me that, you know, so-and-so passed, he had a heart attack, we had a stroke, you know. And so none of this is guaranteed, and that's why every day has to be your best day, because every day is your opportunity to give. And the more you give, the more you receive. Like Russell Simmons says in his book, Super Rich, you know, unless you're giving, you're not doing anything, okay? You say you have talent in music, you have talent in drawing and painting and whatnot, you got to give that. You got to give it because you keep it to yourself, benefits nobody. You know, it's like something like having some meat that has expired, you know? You got to throw that thing out because if you don't, it's going to start to stink. You know, my belief is with my time and also with my money is about circulation. I don't throw money away, but I'm not reluctant to spend money or to make an investment in my future or make an investment in the future of other people. You know, so I think it's all about circulation. It's all about, you know, you giving to get, and you're getting to motivate, because, you know, it's a lot of people out there, Lisa, who are listening to us, you know, and what we're saying, I know I've met students who I've taught like 20 years ago. And, you know, and my wife makes me laugh because she said, you know, a lot of times when students walk up to me who I haven't seen in many years, they are very enthusiastic. And I talk to them and whatnot. And, you know, and as we walk away, my wife asks me, you know, you don't even know that student's name, do you? I said, well, no, I don't. I was afraid to ask because, you know, I should know. I think I should know. Of course, I'm realistic. But the point is that they remember what I gave them, and I laugh because, you know, whatever I gave 20 years ago, I'm even much better now than that. So if I was giving gems 20 years ago, just imagine what I'm giving today, and also imagine what I'm getting tomorrow, because I got a whole set of books and tapes and DVDs that I'm getting ready to listen to. So I'm saying in the final analysis, you know, you never stop growing because you never stop sharing, and the more you share, the more you get, and the more you get, the more that you can give.
Amen. Hey,
I didn't mean to go into all that, but the spirit moved me.
Listen, you got to go where the spirit says go. We know that. So
yes.
That is wonderful. And, you know, just to really reiterate the fact that you can make your car your feet can be a university. And what I mean by feet, at all that walking, and you would have the opportunity to listen to hours and hours of download information. You know, they say it takes, 10,000 hours to become an expert.
Yes.
Multiply the amount of hours that you spend doing laundry, cooking, walking, and, you know, again, like you said, we can, you know, we can take something from what these young people do with their iPhones and things like that, iPads. You just right to your waist, put it in your apron, put the earplugs in, and sitting there with some other thoughts that may not really be a great investment, you can be listening to something that could change your life, and it can really help people who feel hopeless. It could help people, and especially now with what's happening in the economy, what's happening as it relates to the baby boomers, where people coming online that are older. I mean, I'm amazed at the amount of people who are on Facebook who are in their 70s, 80s.
Yes, yes.
There were times when they were on their jobs and they probably fought their supervisors that they didn't want to be on the computer.
I know some
that did that. But now, because of this new wave of how we interact with one another, everybody tried to fight it years ago when they talked about this 40 years ago, that most of our social interaction would be done virtually. They talked about this, you know, decades ago. People can think, no, it will never happen because, you know, we got to touch each other and there's just be. But Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, all these other tools they have out here are just an example of how it can get. And here's the other side of it. People say, I still need to go outside. And but I still need to be out. But if they continue to kill people in the movie theaters, walking down the street innocently with your child, and that child is down, whatever.
Yeah.
Here in the city of Newark, 6 totally innocent people were shot. Now, they weren't murdered, thank God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But from age 2 to age in maybe the late, early 30s, people were shot. So they continue to do that kind of stuff. It continues to make people draw back. So if we don't put a stop to it now. To put a stop. It's not time to go get a 10-year plan.
Yeah.
Time to go and plan for 10 years on how we're going to do this. The time is now. The stage is being set for us to be so afraid to go anywhere in the public.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Outside of going to your cousin's house and things of that nature or your family member. But if we want to have the freedoms that you and I and many other people experience in this country, we are going to have to put a stop to the senseless actions of some of these senseless children.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, but I think, again, I think it goes back to mindset and I think it goes back to environment, you know, and understand that, you know, we have to, you know, build an environment where people can understand that it's got to be about love, you know, because anything else, it's not going to help us, you know. People are getting shot down because people have very little respect for life. And really, if you don't respect your own life, how can you respect somebody else's life?
Exactly. You know, it's like, who does that? Who just allows young people to not be taught right things? I mean, they might go off and make their own decision. But we were given strict instructions, train them up in the way they should go.
Yeah, I was thinking about that scripture, right? You know, you're trained the way that you go, and they will never depart from it. I mean, you know, I know for my daughters, I mean, you know, I talked to them so much about drugs that they didn't want to hear it anymore. But you know what? They may do a lot of things, but they'll never do drugs because I kept on beating that into them that, you know, this is the worst thing you could possibly do. I showed them a documentary on Like It Is. Where they interviewed 3 drug addicts and they showed what it was really about. They showed them shooting up and the abscesses on their skins and the swollen ankles and the collapsed veins and whatnot. It was a very, as the kids say today, it was gross, you know. but it left an impression on them, you know.
Right, but you know what? And it's so funny you would say that. I remember sitting as Ock senior high school, I mean junior high, only had 7th and 8th grade in Cincinnati, Ohio. The school is long since torn down by now. But I remember sitting in that class, that lady showed us a video on the effects of heroin. I'll never forget. It was a whole video on why it's called dope, how it's created, what it has people doing. And there were some other hallucinogens that they were showing us, that people were jumping off buildings and whatnot because they thought they could fly and things like that. But when they showed us that stuff about heroin, I was convinced at that moment when I was in the seventh grade. At that point, I had never smoked a joint, never drank a beer, never smoked a cigarette, nothing.
And that's something.
I did not know my future, but one thing I knew that I would never do, because I went off later to do almost every other kind of drug. I said on that day that I would never do heroin. And I believe that had I said, I will never do any drug, I don't think I would have done any.
Yes.
But I was true to my word. I said I would not do heroin, and I didn't, but I did almost everything else. So I think it's right. Get these kids. I think parents teach their children, don't listen to this music, don't go over there and do that. But I think if you sit down and teach her to say, I will not have sex until I'm married, have her every day and say it like she means it and show her some of the effects. Show her these kids walking around, getting on the bus, struggling with a stroller,
he ain't
nowhere around, or possibly with another girl, possibly making another. Show that first.
Yes, yes.
That be the image that they say I don't want. Then maybe take them out and show them a nice neighborhood where a woman is, the car door is opened for her.
Yes, yes.
The man, he takes the baby out the back while you just stroll in with your little cute outfit on or something. I don't know.
Well, no, but again, but that visual image is really important because, I mean, my mother says, you know, she always says it to me. She said, you know, when you see better, you do better. Unfortunately, a lot of kids never see better. That's why I take my kids to places, you know. Sometimes I take them sometimes we go to open houses, you know. Not that I want to buy a house, but I want to show them something a little bit better.
But here's the thing. A person would listen to me and say, oh, Lalisa, that doesn't work. There's no, I can't show my child that, and that will cause them not to have a baby before they get out of high school. And but the picture will never leave them. And even if they were to do it, they will always have that picture in their mind.
Yes.
They will try to get back to. And these pictures, like you say, they are powerful. Why Jesus always talked in these parables and painted a picture. I mean, look at the book of Daniel God would talk to him. So anyway, can you believe a whole hour is gone?
I can't believe it. I tell you, but it's just so funny because I think again. I mean, you know, our spirits are meeting, and we're definitely growing from each other. But again, you know, it's the image is powerful, and the image of success has got to be powerful too. That's why it's got to be reinforced each and every day. You know.
Well, we only got like 20 seconds left, and I do definitely want to share some of the comments from the chat room. Someone was saying how. He said a lot, and grief and children do not have the benefit of a father. Something that you said that Cynthia said, yeah, that was very powerful. And somebody said 70% of our single inner city families are producing children outside of marriage, and many by multiple fathers. It's so true. Something that we said was a radical concept. She said, did you do crack? Unfortunately, I did. Green Beasley, and then somebody said, no need to teach. Just tell your daughters that they're in control of their body. Absolutely, and pregnancy is possible with their absolutely beautiful comment. Women are in control of their birth canal. So true, so true. But we do have to get all that in because in less than 10 seconds, we will lose power in the chat room. But if you dial into the phone line, you can still listen. 347-9457. 991-347-945-7991. I just wanted to make that clear as we just wrap up the last 2 or 3 seconds of the broadcast. But so we do want to say goodbye to those who are in the chat room with us. If you want to listen to the last 3 seconds of the show, you can always go back and listen. the archive. But I did just want to mention that we had that discussion going on in the chat room, so people are listening. And your last show, Terry, over 100 people went back and listened to the archive.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Oh, yes. We've had consistently people listening to the archives, well over 100. One particular show, people over 300 people listen. Our listeners, so people are tuning in. We know the time slot doesn't work with everyone's schedule, but that's the whole purpose. These shows can be downloaded in your iPods. You can listen from your cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that, especially for people like Kiva, who is a leader on her job, and others.
Oh, wow, that's great. That's great.
Supervisor, manager, she deals with all generations at work. You know, she's got X's, the Gen Y's, she's got the baby boomers, she's got Gen X, she's got everything there. And so, you know, I'm sure that these talks can help her as she's dealing with her staff and her peers and her higher ups even. So. We appreciate you, Terry. We appreciate those who are listening via the phone lines and those who will listen back to the archive.
Lisa, quick thing. Okay.
Yes.
Our next show, right, is on the 14th?
Yes.
Okay, that's my birthday, so we have a special birthday show.
Okay.
Get ready. I will accept the audio gifts over the phone lines. How about that?
So you get a virtual.
Yeah. We have a virtual party for me. I'll be 62 years old. No, 62 years young. And I have a lot to say on that day.
You know what? And now you are just 3 months of July, no, August, September. Oh, just one. Wow. Almost 1 month to the day. No, not even a whole month. Wow. My husband's birthday is September 3rd. And
he will be the
same age. So you guys have so much in common. But it is wonderful. And we thank God for these years because we know some people are not making it past 50 today. And they are not being shot down literally with bullets. But they are being taken down by many types of illnesses and diseases. And so that's another thing. I heard a woman on, just as one thing I want to mention, because it did strike me. A woman was on television last night, and she wrote a book and does this teaching about drink water to live.
Oh, wow.
And she said God took her to the scripture of John 4 when the woman was at the well. He said, yeah, she came and met me, but she came there for some water.
Is that something?
And I didn't read her. I didn't read her whole book. I didn't hear the whole thing, but she was swearing by it. She said when she began to drink water, she said her hair grew back, her skin color changed.
It's just something, wow.
She lost all this weight. She felt better. Her eyes cleared up. So I'm like, you know what? I'm telling everybody I know, let's drink water.
Oh,
so,
please, yeah. I try to drink at least four bottles a day. That's the minimum, you know.
I don't care how many Coke commercials we see and how they make it look. Forget that nonsense. I'm sorry. Let somebody else do that. Maybe they were created to do that. We need water, not soda, not juice. Water. Water.
No, water is important because those sodas, all that sugar in water, which we don't need. No, water is important. You know?
Yeah. If you want fruit juice, go get a piece of fruit.
Yeah. Or get a blender if you want to drink it like that. But, you know, you got to take care of yourself. You know, that's what it comes down to. And I misspoke because it's not next Tuesday. It's the following Tuesday because my birthday is on the 14th, you know.
Okay. We got you.
You know, but that's going to be a special program, you know. They're all special, but the 14th is going to be even more special.
Special. I got you. Okay, folks, well, that's all we have time for. Have a great, powerful day. Terry, we'll see you back next Tuesday, birthday
yes,
in November.
Yes, we will. All right, have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge, share the love, share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Felisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lilisa J. Williams.
I'm done.